A thriller in Brooklyn that saw Giannis get the best of Kevin Durant. We'll break it down and what it means for a potential first-round matchup between the Bucks and the Nets. Plus, the 76ers and Cavaliers slip, and DeMar DeRozan scores 50. A fun night of basketball, and we break it all down on today's Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On NBA, your daily podcast on the NBA, however you may be listening on YouTube, Odyssey, or wherever you get podcasts. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day. I'm Wes Goldberg here with Adam Mares, and we're going to talk about DeMar DeRozan dropping 50 and the 76ers suffering their worst loss of the season, perhaps. But we start with a crazy night at Barclays, Adam, as the Bucks beat the Nets 120 to 119 in overtime. Let's go right to the end where the Nets led by nine with just under 4 minutes to go after a 16-3 run. And during that run, Chris Middleton picked up a flagrant two and was ejected from the game after catching Bruce Brown's arm when going for a block in transition. What did you think of that call, Adam?
This is such a tough one. Here's my official stance. I think that Chris Middleton just got caught in a weird situation. Brown slowed down. Like he had a layup. He kind of slowed down awkwardly. And I think Middleton just got in this weird spot where he's like, I got to foul him hard enough not to let him get a layup or whatever. But then he ends up fouling him kind of too hard, and it was a dangerous play. I'm okay with him getting tossed. It's a dangerous play. I just don't think Middleton did it on purpose. It just was one of those weird things that happened and put him in a bad spot. But you got to protect players. So throwing him out was the right thing, even if I can't hold it against him.
Yeah, it looked worse when it was in slow-mo, didn't it? But in regular motion, it was just a really awkward spot for Middleton. I thought it should have been a flagrant one. I don't know. Maybe I'm also a sucker for when the player does something like a flagrant two and then immediately rushes to the opponent and tries to help him up. I think I'm a sucker for that stuff.
Anyway. Brown wanted no part of it, by the way. He was like, yo, I'm cool, man. Like, I don't need your sympathy.
Love it. Go, UM. Well, the Bucks clawed back into the game and were down three with 48 seconds left in regulation when Giannis missed a wide open look for a straightaway three. Keep that in mind. The Nets got the ball back with a chance to extend the lead, and Giannis was nearly called for a foul for bumping Durant, but the official changes the call in the last second, calls an offensive foul on Brown for shoving Giannis into Durant. So the
Bucks That was the correct call. I mean, Giannis is a big guy, and it wasn't that hard of a push, but it clearly was enough to kind of put him off balance. So, and in live, I just thought Giannis fell on top of him. You see the replay, there's clearly a shove. It was the right call.
So the Bucks get the ball back, and Giannis, from nearly the same exact spot that he missed the last straightaway three, drills the three to tie the game at 110 and send the game to overtime. And with that three, Giannis passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points in Bucks history. So fitting. Really cool moment. So we go to overtime.
Hold up. You're underselling this, Wes. I can't believe it. You're underselling it. A three-pointer, was it? That was a step-back three-pointer for the win. Like, he had a little move to it, step back, pull up, and drain it. And it's just like, this is what I love about Giannis. He's so willing to do the thing that will most bring him criticism if he fails. Free throws, three-pointers, step back, three-point. He just missed the one to tie the game. Like, he missed a game winner. What's he say? No problem. I'll take an even tougher one from the same spot. It was such a ballsy shot. Yes. And I'm so thankful that it was the shot that gave him the record for most points. I'm glad it was sort of an iconic shot that we'll remember.
It was really cool. And after starting 9-for-9 from the free throw line, he missed a bunch in the beginning of the fourth quarter, and he hit some really key free throws at the end there too. So like you said, just absolutely fearless. To not only make those free throws, but get to the line, take that three after he had missed that same exact three, just fearless. So we go to overtime now, where the Bucks get out to a 118 to 116 lead with 8.7 seconds to go. But KD is fouled by Wesley Matthews on a three-point attempt in the corner, and he makes all three free throws to give the Nets a one-point lead. But rather than just call a timeout and advance the ball, Mike Boonholzer does not call a timeout. Instead, just lets the Bucks sprint down the court, get the ball to Giannis. Giannis draws a foul on Nick Claxton at the rim, as he had been doing all game long. Giannis makes his pair of free throws to give the Bucks a one-point lead. Then, on the final possession of the game, Kevin Durant, guarded again by Wesley Matthews, he's kind of going back and forth, up and down the floor, until Kevin Durant gets into his spot as he turns around for the potential go-ahead jumper. Giannis comes in for the late, perfectly timed double team. Durant's shot rims out. It still almost went in. And the Bucks hold on for a win in what was one of the best games of the season. The Bucks are now a half game back of the one seed. Giannis with 44 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists added to his MVP resume, Adam.
Oh, there's no question he added to it. I mean, this was a huge game, and it was a huge back-to-back, obviously, last night in Philadelphia, and then getting this one. So two monster games for Giannis and monster games for the Bucks. These two teams, though, for the first place I want to go with this is just Brooklyn and Milwaukee, man, they're made for each other. Those games are going to come down to overtime. They're going to come down to the final possession, the final second. I just love it. This matchup brings out the best. I mean, we talk about MVP. Giannis, I think, like, this really is his league. And I say that with all respect because he won the championship last year, and he did it in dramatic fashion, of course, with that 50-piece. And on games like this, he just always brings it. He always shows up. He's always – that play where you're talking about no timeout, you didn't need one. The play was to give the ball to Giannis and let him barrel towards the rim. That's exactly what he did. He gets fouled.
It's a great call, too, not letting Brooklyn set up in the in their half court.
They're a terrible defense. Make them defend. With the group they have out there with no setup, make them defend. And it just – Giannis is just so willing to accept every challenge, no matter the odds, every challenge in front of him. And it's just – it's beautiful to see. And by the way, Brooklyn – this is going to be the greatest nine seed in the history of the NBA. I mean, this team – you know, even tonight, you didn't necessarily have, like, great shooting from Kyrie, great shooting from Kevin Durant. They had very good games, but they're just so tough. They're so hard to guard. And you see Milwaukee with all the talent they have, and they still had their hands full with this Brooklyn team.
It's an interesting matchup, not just because of the Giannis and the Kevin Durant thing, which is obviously the headliner there, right? But Milwaukee gives up so many threes by design, and Brooklyn wants to take as many threes as possible and sort of turn these games into shootouts, right? Like, if Brooklyn is going to somehow win the NBA Finals, it's because they're going to win every game by scoring 140 points. And so it's sort of an interesting thing here. Well, Milwaukee is giving up the thing that the Nets really rely on. And tonight, on 37 three-point attempts, they shot 48.6%. Yep. I don't know that that happens in a seven-game series for every game. And maybe that's why it was close as it was. But like I said, Milwaukee gives up those looks. And when you got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and Patty Mills and Goran Dragic and Seth Curry and all these guys, I'm like, maybe they can shoot 48% from three every game if you're just giving them those shots. I don't know. But it's a fascinating matchup on a lot of different levels.
You got to give a shout to Wes Matthews, who I thought, I mean, there was a lot of guys that made plays. Jrue Holiday had some big plays. You know, obviously we talked about Giannis. Bobby Portis had a couple of big plays. But Wes Matthews, to me, is the unsung hero of this game because of the defense that he played on Kevin Durant. Nobody can guard Kevin Durant. He's unguardable. Mm-hmm. But Wesley Matthews did as good of a job with a huge assist to Giannis with some very well-timed double teams late in this game. But Wes Matthews made those well-timed double teams possible by just hounding him, turning him, and forcing him not to get downhill at any point. And I was very impressed with the veteran, the old man, Wes
Matthews. Kind of taking in the PJ Tucker role a little bit there, right? With just giving Kevin Durant hell. And like I said at the end there, if Wesley Matthews just lets Durant just run right by him, then Giannis never has an opportunity to double at the end of the buzzer there. Because when Giannis doubled, he just jumped with the buzzer, not with Durant's like pump fake or shot attempt. You have to shoot or else it's 20 or else the game's over. And so that really, I think, maybe threw off Durant. Other interesting note about Kevin Durant's turnaround jumper there looked very similar to the one in the Eastern Conference Finals last year that he had the toe on the line for, the infamous big shoe.
That was half down too tonight, man. Like that, it was very close. This game just was haymaker after haymaker, and if that one would have gone down, it kind of in a lot of ways would have been fitting. These two teams, man, they're special. I hope we see them in the playoffs, and I personally hope we don't see him in the first round. I'd rather save this one for a little bit more of a marquee, but they're a hell of a matchup.
Oh, I disagree with you on that. The first round is so boring. Give us one good series. I could just ignore the other ones.
And you say that, but this is not the year for the boring first round. We're going to have some haymaker first round. In fact, we go to the Western Conference. I know we will in the second segment. There might be some teams in that second round or that first that the on the road in that first round that are starting to kind of percolate a little.
Ooh,
kind of interesting.
There's actually a couple teams you could be talking about there, so I'm not even sure where you're going with that. Yeah, so basically right now, if the playoffs were to start tomorrow and we started with the play-in tournament, if the Nets were to win their first play-in game, they would face the Bucks in the first round, which is what's so interesting about this, and obviously it would be a rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Finals. Any other notes before we move on?
No, not really. I mean, you did mention Giannis and his title odds. I find it so funny that you go to places like betonline.net and you see Giannis is still such a distant third for the MVP odds. And it was surprising to me that he was always like this third wheel. To me, I thought he was a third guy, not like this distant third. All year he's been great. You look at the numbers, he's averaging better numbers than Joel Embiid. His team is higher up there. And then you talk about two-way impact. Embiid's a great defender. I think Giannis is a tier above him as a defender because of how versatile he is, but also just the energy he plays with. Like, Embiid can be obviously an elite rim protector for these stretches, but Giannis just has this motor to play 40 minutes of elite defense everywhere, out on the perimeter, inside. And
he should be the runaway for Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know why we're not talking about it that way.
So if you're the runaway for Defensive Player of the Year and you lead the league in scoring, you're probably the MVP. Like, or at least you should be in the conversation. You shouldn't be the third person there. So I think that he might just be kind of late, like some late momentum because of how this has been framed. And by the way, I think Jokic is going to win it. You know that's my guy. Jokic deserves it too. What he's doing has been absolutely insane. Denver is going to hit their over this season, their win-loss over. Mm-hmm. And that was set with the assumption that Jamal Murray would be back in March and Michael Porter would be healthy all year. Neither of those things have happened, and yet somehow they're still going to outperform Vegas's expectations. So this is no slight on Jokic, but Giannis, when I see him plus 1,000, you know, way bare, like the odds are saying he's a super long shot. And I watch this and I go, are we sure there's a better player in the NBA than that guy? And are we sure there's a guy playing better this season than him?
He may have won some votes tonight. And last night against Philadelphia. I mean, it's very possible.
It's still Jokic. I'm making the case for him, but it's still Jokic.
Coming up next, we have another shakeup in the Eastern Conference standings. We'll update that. And DeMar DeRozan returning to midseason form. But first, let's talk about our friends at Bet Odds of Playing. College basketball has determined the top teams for the Final Four and will determine this year's national champion coming week. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information, from all the latest odds, contests, and player props. And they've got odds on Saturday night's Final Four. Both Kansas and Duke are 4-point favorites when I check tonight. So if you like Villanova's chances against the Jayhawks or North Carolina's chance to send Coach K into retirement, BetOnline is your spot. North Carolina recently beat Duke by 13 earlier this month. And these teams know each other. I don't know. 4 points, that might be a little too high if you ask me. Anyway, BetOnline remains the best spot for all of your latest sports developments, including podcasts and reviews for all the leagues this season. And it's not just basketball. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sport wagering information needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to to learn more about the trends and the action. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every NBA game with analysis from our local experts. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. In a game that the 76ers led for the first three quarters, the Pistons battled back to beat the Sixers 102-94. Sadiq Bey scored 10 points in the final 4 minutes and 23 seconds, and Cade Cunningham finished with 27 points for Detroit, who snapped a three-game losing streak for Philadelphia. Joel Embiid had 37 points and 15 rebounds, but his co-star, James Harden, just 18 points on 4-for-15 shooting. He missed 7 of his 9 three-point attempts. And after the game, Sixers coach Doc Rivers was asked about his bench that was outscored 39-8, but said, quote, "It was more James than them," end quote. What do you think about Doc's comments, Adam?
What I think is that Philadelphia has developed under Doc Rivers, and really even before Doc Rivers, but especially under Doc Rivers, a culture of finding scapegoats. And guess what? The big scapegoat's gone. He was traded. He's out of town. He's in Brooklyn, and now he's not playing over there. We got to find a new one. Like, in all seriousness, James Harden was not good. And there were, you know, the stretch that he's talking about largely falls on the star players, and he was the guy there that was tasked with carrying them there, and he didn't do it. That being said, what's going on? We're 1 week away from the playoffs. This is a team that's trying to gel, trying to come together. Really? Really, Doc? That's where we're going to go with this? I'll tell you what. I know I'm playing a little tongue-in-cheek about this right now, but I'm actually also serious that there is something about, like, basketball is a game that, yeah, sometimes it is on one guy. We could put it here. But when you're trying to build a culture and you're trying to build it together, I just don't know what that's about. Like, what that almost points to a deeper problem with the Philadelphia 76ers. And it manifests itself in the fact that they lost their marquee matchup against Milwaukee. They lost their marquee matchup against the Denver Nuggets in an MVP faceoff. And they lost their marquee matchup against the Brooklyn Nets. And now you're losing to the Detroit Pistons, who didn't even want to win. To me, I look at this thing with Philly and I go, it does. Teams can rebound. We know there's a lot of data that suggests there's not really such a thing as momentum or lack of momentum going into the playoffs. But boy, it sure doesn't feel like Philadelphia is going to be entering with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, I mean, it would have just been so easy for Doc Rivers to just go, you know what? Sometimes it's a make or miss league. And Harden had some good looks and they just didn't go in tonight. And by the way, the bench did get crushed. I don't know if it was more James Harden, like Shake Milton 1-for-3, Danny Green 0-for-3, like Georges Niang couldn't make a three. It was just, I don't know. It was just, you hear a comment like that, not even asked about James Harden, and then goes out of his way to put James Harden down. I don't, like, let James Harden do that, right? That's his job in the post-game press conference. Hey, you know what? That one's on me, guys. I don't know if this is just Doc Rivers being an old school player and calling out the dudes or whatever, but shouldn't he know by now that this is not working? Like, he just did this with Ben Simmons and then said he didn't. I don't know if Doc Rivers a week from now is going to be like, I didn't say anything about James Harden in that press conference. But
Real quick, if they lose in the first round, which I don't think they will, but you never know. I mean, we'll see. Maybe they get Boston in the first round. That's a tough matchup. Let's say they lose in the first round. Who do you think will be the person that is actually blamed, right or wrong? Just like, who do you think will be the first person who's on the chopping block? In my opinion, it's definitely Doc Rivers. So Doc Rivers out here trying to point the finger like, hey, Chad, plant some seeds here. I don't know, man. But it just, to me, it feels very weird. It's a weird thing for a coach to say with its team in that position.
Agreed. And maybe it was a self-preservation move. But if I'm Daryl Morey, if I'm in charge of this team, I'm like, you know what? I didn't like that. You called out my guy. You know what I mean? Like, that's my dude. Anyway, in Chicago, the Bulls rallied from 16 points back to force overtime and beat the Clippers 135-130, our second overtime game of the night. DeMar DeRozan scored 22 of his 50 points in the final 3 minutes of regulation and overtime, while the Clippers were led by Reggie Jackson's 34 points. They got 22 points as well from Paul George, recently back from his injury. It's a season high for DeMar DeRozan and a gutsy win for a Bulls team that has been reeling since the All-Star break, but has now won 3 of their last 4. Another fun one going down in Chicago, Adam.
A super fun one. I mean, DeRozan, this was kind of like the DeRozan of old. And when I mean old, I mean January. January DeRozan was here again. We all remember he had that MVP momentum. Like, should he be butting into this conversation because of how well he was carrying this team through some of their injuries? That obviously tailed off, and the Bulls had been in this huge lull. But tonight, they got a big-time performance from him. To me, the story, though, if I'm looking at this from the Bulls' perspective, Patrick Williams is a big part of this team, and he's been back now, I think, for 6, maybe 7 games, maybe 8 games. I don't remember what it is, but kind of getting back after missing most of the season, really. And this was a game that you saw his impact, especially down the stretch. The first half, maybe not so much, but second half, you saw that. And it reminds you that this Bulls team that has been in a 2-month lull is really the Bulls team with duct tape holding everything together. They have some very good players, and if Patrick Williams can replicate what he did in the second half of this game going forward, even without Lonzo Ball, it brings the Bulls up just a little bit, maybe enough to help them survive not falling to the play-in.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Patrick Williams, because I thought this was his best game since he got back, right? And the Bulls played small in this game, in part to just match up with the Clippers and just sort of their weird lineups, but you could see a world where they move Patrick Williams back into that starting lineup, and maybe that's something once he kind of gets his feet back under him. You're right. That was a really good sign from him.
Double-double from him, by the way. 10 points, 12 rebounds, 4-of-4 shooting, 2-of-2 from the three-point line. So they got some big contributions.
Let's go to Utah, where with LeBron James and Anthony Davis out nursing injuries, the Lakers lost to the Jazz 122-109. The Jazz got 29 points from Donovan Mitchell. They got 25 points and 17 rebounds from Rudy Gobert. But more importantly, snapped a 5-game losing streak. It was a much-needed win for a Jazz team that has been tumbling down the Western Conference standings. The loss also drops the Lakers behind the Spurs and outside of the play-in tournament for now with 6 games left. Do you think the Lakers fall out of the play-in altogether, Adam?
And if they want to, which for a while there, I thought maybe they would. Now the story is that it looks like both Anthony Davis and LeBron James will look to give it a go this weekend and then presumably down the stretch here. And if those two guys are back and committed to winning and healthy, then no, they're going to make the playoffs. They played Denver twice. They've got some, some tough games, but if they want it, it can be theirs. This to me though, you watch him tonight, by the way, Dwight Howard, 9 of 13, he goes for 21 points and 12 rebounds. And I thought offensively, he almost looked more energized than what I've seen him for most of this year, just in terms of his physicality. I mean, Gobert, obviously a great player, but he was bothering Gobert a lot inside, even if the plus minus doesn't reflect it.
It's because his old coach was on the broadcast, Stan Van Gundy.
Maybe it was.
Just went to the time machine a little bit, just got inspired. Finally, Trae Young scored 30 points. The Hawks never trailed while beating the shorthanded Cavaliers 131-107 to win their fourth straight and clinch a spot in the Eastern Conference play-in tournament. No Evan Mobley for the Cavs, who missed his second straight game with a sprained ankle. And now the Cavs are 2.5 games behind the Raptors, and they are squarely in the play-in tournament. Not much of a chance for them to get out of that. Looks like they will be playing the Nets in that first play-in game. Coming up next, Manu Ginobili, Tim Hardaway, and George Karl have finally been inducted into the Hall of Fame, but is that the greatest honor that they could hope for? We'll talk about that next, but first, today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is truly a standout among protein bars. With its exceptional nutritional profile and so many delicious flavors, Built Bar is the favorite protein bar of many discerning fitness trainers and fitness enthusiasts alike. All Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. They taste better than your current protein bar and are perfect for an after-workout snack or some needed energy in the middle of a busy day. Built Bars are low in calories, they're low in carbs, they're high in fiber, and they are packed with protein. Just check out these macros. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to most protein bars, and Built Bars are a clear winner. Plus, Built Bars come in great flavors such as mint brownie, raspberry, salted caramel, cookies and cream, and much more. They're delicious, and there's new flavors coming out all the time. And have you tried the Puffs? If you haven't, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best-tasting products. Puffs are the first-ever protein-infused marshmallow. They're fluffy. They're covered in 100% real chocolate. They come in churro, coconut marshmallow, and banana cream pie flavors. So here's our offer. Go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15. And you'll get 15% off on your order. Again, use that promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Okay, it's Friday, so that means we are counting down to the weekend. And today, we are counting down the top 5 honors in all of basketball. Where should we start, Adam?
Well, we should start, first of all, by mentioning the Hall of Fame inductees this year got announced. The big ones... We go through the list. Tim Hardaway ended up getting this one. Who was the other player? The one other player?
Manu.
Manu Ginobili was in it. Yep. And then, of course, George Karl got in it. Shouts to George Karl, 6th winningest coach of all time. So very excited for that. But it got me thinking, what is the greatest awards? Or maybe the top 5? Okay. Is it the Hall of Fame? Is that the top honor? Is there something else? I'm going to start in reverse order, though. Go ahead.
No, so I'm like, what honor, if you're a kid right now and aspiring to be in the NBA, what's the biggest dream of the dreams?
Exactly. I'm going to start from the bottom here with some honorable mentions.
Okay.
All right. The Skills Challenge winner. This is probably the most meaningless one. If you win the Skills Challenge at the All-Star game or the Clorox Bleach Skills Challenge, whatever. I mean, you probably have that trophy somewhere, like somewhere in the basement. I don't know if that's on full display. That same thing goes for the Rising Stars MVP. Could you tell me who was the Rising Stars MVP this year? Do you remember?
No.
It was like a month ago. No, I don't. I don't remember.
I couldn't tell you the Rising Stars for, like, I assume Luka won it when he was, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder like what the most famous Rising Stars MVPs are. I don't know. We'd have to look that up.
The last time I watched that game.
Right ahead of that is making the All-Rookie team, which admittedly is a very good, nice honor. That's a pretty good one. But sometimes it's like, just the guy that played the most minutes. Sometimes like 10 guys make the All-Rookie team and like 7, 8, 9, 10 are just like, he averaged 6.
If you go back, those teams are really wonky too. Like there's like weird guys left off. Like it's so strange. Yeah.
There's a lot of like weird winners on that one. This might surprise you. Next one, I'm going to go player of the week.
As an honorable mention.
This is an honorable mention. Okay. It's a good award, but it's just 1 week. A lot of guys have had a good week. I don't think it's that big. Dunk contest winner is next. Mm. Now, this one's weird because historically we look back sometimes and think like we almost cite it on somebody's resume. You know, Vince Carter, and, you know, he's the dunk contest champ or whatever. But nowadays, like, there's some really weak dunk contest winners, man. That is not an elite company.
No, and like I said, if you're an aspiring NBA player, if you're a kid coming up, like, dunk contest's not cool anymore. Like, you're not really, like, you know what I really want to do? I want to win the dunk contest. Nobody's thinking like that anymore.
So true. But you know what they are thinking? The three-point contest, which is next. I actually think the three-point contest winner is cooler at this moment than the dunk contest winner. So to me, that one's ahead. Still honorable mention. Sixth man of the year. I kind of hate that award. It's just like most improved. You could put both of those together. I just there's a lot of like not that impressive players that have won those two awards. So it's an honor, but not that big. Player of the month. This one's next. A week, you could have anybody has a hot week. A month, though, you start to go in player by the month. Like, the worst player to ever win player of the month is still a really, really good player.
I just can't get on board with you on these player of the weeks or play of the months. I think these are the silliest things that we do in NBA coverage. It's the dumbest thing. It doesn't go on a player's resume. When we're having the MVP conversation at the end of the year, you know what we're not having? We're like, you know what? How many player of the months did Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic get? Like, you might know Jokic off the top of your head. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't care. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter when we talk about all NBA. It doesn't talk about when we – Hall of Fame resumes. Like,
I think player of the month is cool. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about it. And
it's just a press release. That's all it is.
There's a player that could get all rookie team, whatever. But if that player got player of the month, it'd be like, yo, I was the best player in my conference for a whole month. It's a big one.
Shout out to January, I guess. Like, I don't know. I can't get there with you.
Rookie of the year is next one.
That's a good one.
Very good award. But again, a lot of times it's like, hey, he was just the guy that got to play the most minutes and was really good, but not always the best rookie. Defensive player of the year is next. I think that's a really, really big award. Last two cut. This one's really crazy. Gold medalist. Medalist got cut from me. Gold medalist.
You have a top five without gold, Olympic gold medalist, or like a different kind of gold medalist?
Olympic. I should put that in. I should have had a FIBA gold. FIBA gold would be before Olympic gold, which is kind of crazy, but.
Olympic I'm shocked that you have five honors ahead of winning an Olympic gold medal. It's just people don't care about the Olympics anymore, I guess.
And then my last honorable mention is all NBA.
I don't even know if there's five awards left. I am like,
here we
player
go,
of the day five. Is player of the day in your top five?
Player of the day, player of the game. All right, here we go. Number game five, ball. All-star. All-star. All-star.
Okay, now, I wish I had some sound effects for this.
There it is. All-NBA, some people would say, is more important than All-Star.
Okay.
I'm just going to say I think All-Star is a little bit bigger for whatever reason. It shouldn't be, but it just historically is. Like, we talk about the players that were in the All-Star game. There's not that many scrubs that have ever made it to the All-Star game. So, to me, that's a really, really big
one. And you could see players, when they're named, it matters to them. They really care about it. Even when they're standing on the stage during the whole introductions, like, they like that. They like the attention. It matters.
It does. My next one, Finals MVP. Finals MVP. Now, for one, if you have Finals MVP, it means you won a championship, so that's pretty big, and then winning it. But then you have guys like Andre Iguodala won one, you know, and he's great. I'm just saying that, like, it's not the highest honor to me. It's up there, but it doesn't have to necessarily be, like, essential that you get it.
I'm okay.
Number
with that
three.
There.
Here's the top three. MVP. The MVP of the league. This is above Finals MVP.
Wow.
You don't think this one is up? Would you have a different order so far?
I would have MVP. I think I would have MVP high. I don't know. Like, I would assume Hall of Fame is number one. I have no idea what would be better than in between MVP and Hall of Fame. But yeah, MVP, obviously. I mean, it's a very small group of players.
It's a very, very small group. Number two, though, is Hall of Fame. I do have Hall of Fame. Like, the Hall of Fame is... I mean, that's obviously the best of the best players of all time. Right. They're in the Hall of Fame. So that's my list. I love that you're so good. Number one is NBA champion.
Oh, okay.
You're so disappointed. Here's what I was going back and forth for. I was thinking, like, every player wants to be a champion. You're almost haunted when you have all those other accolades, but you don't have it. These guys are almost haunted by it. And you asked Charles Barkley, like, would you trade the Hall of Fame? Would you trade all these things for the championship? What was he say? Yes, I would. So to me, that's why I had to put it at the very top.
I'm okay with that. But also, like, if you ask Norris Cole, like, would you would you rather have that ring that you just sort of got your rookie year because you were on the team, or would you rather have had a Hall of Fame career? He probably wouldn't like. I'd probably take the Hall of Fame career because I'd still be playing right now and making a bunch more money.
I didn't really think about this in terms of the North Coles of the world. You're right. I was more thinking about this as like, you know, the Charles Barkley versus, I don't know, you know. Like...
It's fair though. No, because I think if you did ask most guys, like they'd be like, you know what, championship is what I do it for. So maybe you're right. I would still have Hall of Famer over NBA champion though. I would have gold medalist over finals MVP. I don't care about finals MVP.
Is a gold medal like half the time? Like, I know like it's getting more competitive in this or that, but to me, like, the Olympics are kind of a game. Like, FIBA basketball is a little gimmicky. It's so short. And then
I would have I would have it fifth. I probably would have went Hall of Famer, MVP, All-Star, NBA champion, gold medalist, something like that.
I just wonder, like, if you had a draft and you sat down all the greats, if we sat down and had a little snake draft with all the great players, like, what would be the number one thing you would take on the board? I think they would take the championship. They say, I'll take the championship.
Not player of the month.
Player of the month could go a little bit lower.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On NBA wherever you listen to the podcast for 30 minutes of the NBA's top stories every day. Until next Friday, you can find me over at Locked On Heat and Adam over at Locked On Nuggets. Thank you for making Locked On NBA your first listen every day, and thanks for joining me, Adam.
Thanks so much. Have a great weekend, everybody.